So like, yo.
Yeah, just keep going. Nah, if you ask me that question.
Yeah.
Question. The question of what are your thoughts on Eli? Oh, no, not the Elon Musk.
What makes you better
than Yeah, what makes you better? Like, what makes you better than everyone that's already here in an organization? Like, how do you respond to that shit?
My gut response is that I don't know that I'm better than everyone in this organization. I think I can bring some skill sets and add value as a collaborative piece, but, like, I don't think that I'm better than anyone. I might be better at certain things, yeah, but, like, yeah. I'm not better.
Right.
Then why should I invest in you as opposed to someone else if you're not better than the other person?
I mean, if you're comparing me to the specific person, then let's talk about
it. Right. That is the problem is their definition of high caliber talent is like the subjective person. And typically when they think of high caliber talent, they think
Wait, what does that mean? I don't understand that.
Someone that comes from a big school, big brand.
A specific person.
Yeah, okay. Like someone that has worked at, you know, a BCG or Bain or McKinsey. Yeah. And then has gone on to work at like a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
And
isn't that like data that would make someone seem as if they are attractive? Like those things should lend to being someone that I want to invest in.
Yeah, but if you're touting diversity, then that's not that you're not going to find diversity there.
Right. Because just by the nature of doing the same thing.
Right.
Over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, like when we think of diversity, we think of people who come from. Not unfortunately. When we think of diversity, we think of people who come from underrepresented areas, right? So, like, those people...
We think of the lack of the people that come from underrepresented areas, not just people that come from underrepresented areas.
Right. Yeah. So, those people don't go to Harvard. They don't go to Yale. You know, like, those people go to, you know, NYU, which is still a good school, but for some, it's not good enough. You know, they go to tech schools and... You know, the way they've come up in their career is a little unconventional as opposed to someone that comes from Harvard or Yale, got their MBA, then part of a rotational program from McKinsey, Bain, or Boston Consulting Group, mm-hmm. then move into a Fortune 500 brand who have skyrocketed up into a very high level role in a short amount of time. And then, you know, like they're a VP before they're even 40. Like, that's just not normal for us.
Right.
You know, like, that's not our journey. But wait.
So, it is normal for some of us.
The 1%? We're not part of the 1%.
I'm just trying to play the other side of it, right? Like, there are. I think we're definitely doing a better job. There's
Harvard MBAs out there.
Yeah, those are 1%ers.
Black Harvard MBAs?
Yeah, those are
colleges almost to a certain extent. If you look at underrepresented communities, we're already like low in those numbers, right? So
right,
the likelihood has just become slim anyway.
It's slim.
Regardless of any diversity push, right?
So for you to be able to answer that question, you've already lost. Like you already didn't get the job.
I think I'd answer that question perfectly fine.
So what would be your response if someone said, "Tell me why you think you're better than us"?
The sum total of my experiences have been unconventional and lend to blah 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 blah, and you know. Because I've done this, I'm prepared to be better than this. Because that's how we were groomed.
Right. So
he's reading the room, and you're giving that. You know,
right. This is how we were groomed. When I'm in an interview, I'm coming to battle. Like I'm coming to win.
Right.
So like, there's nothing emotional about my response. Yeah. It's all about me getting to the bag.
I'm all emotion right now. Like, if I walk into an interview right now, like. Just based on where I was,
right.
I would be completely speaking from the heart, not you know, from the brain.
Right.
And that's not the way, you know, to go in there if I want that type of job. But right. Also, nigga, I'm fed up. Like, I'm done.
Yeah. So
you're the person that can't, and this is no disrespect to you, but like, we've all been beaten up. We've all, like, I'm beaten up right now, right? But the idea that I'm in an interview and I'm looking for an opportunity, like, I'm just coming to fight, and that question wouldn't like bother me for 1 second.
You're going
to
lose, too. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to lose. You're going to lose. Like, there's no winning with that type of question.
No, I've had a question like, what do you listen to? What did you listen to on your way here when I had an interview one time?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, how can I answer this question? Because I know the answer is going to lend to, like, who I am as a person and who can I be for this person? in order for me to take it to the next step.
Purple Haze, you know what I'm saying? The first one. I mean, truth.
Nah, but like, honestly, I was listening to Grammy Family. Like, that was what I was listening to. Like,
whew, shout out to Constance.
Listening to Jay-Z's Grammy Family Freestyle, because I was prepping myself for Operation Takeover Corporate. Like, that was my real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no way of not saying that and explaining everything about the song.
Oh my gosh.
It was the perfect answer in reality. Yeah,
but like, what if you were like, nah, I was actually listening to, you know, What Would Sheen Do? You know, like,
right,
for Griselda. And they'd be like,
excuse me?
I'm sorry. Who?
Yeah, but I should have said, like, man, I was going back to Green Day. Because that would be me reading him, mm-hmm, and saying I was listening to She's Lump, She's In My Head, and we could like shake hands on that, and I could be like, you know what I mean? Like, that was the right answer.
Right.
But like, or my like, truthful answer was
I was listening to a podcast on self-help.
Yeah, you know, like something like
that. That's a fucking boring answer.
I mean, that's probably the wrong answer for that person specifically, because he was looking for like engagement and like, he's trying to build a culture, realistically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, nah, this shit is tough.
Yeah, so like, like, you just can't get that, like, a true diverse group of people in your workforce if you're asking subjective questions. I don't think
that's real. I'm starting to, like, totally, like...
It's not real because there's this facade at the top that thinks that they're getting diverse people or they're trying to enrich a strong culture. It's not happening.
I don't think So the way someone said it to me this week, actually, was they want our office to look like 7th Avenue. When you go on 7th Avenue, that should be a representation of what we see here.
We're on 7th Avenue.
Yeah, where?
7th Avenue and 34th Street. Madison Square Garden. Penn Station. There's nothing else that you can look at in probably the world as diverse as that spot right there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's not real.
No, it's still not real.
It's not real.
Like, I got family and friends that I wouldn't even... that I don't think would be comfortable in this environment that I know are talented.
Never set foot through there. You know what I'm saying? There's people in all of the boroughs.
Right.
In the BX. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just no way.
Would never go to 34th Street because they don't have to.
That's right. There's no reason for them to be there.
Well, for all intents and purposes, like, that truly probably is the best, like, way to, like, frame it, right? Like, how many people walk through those doors?
From a corporate perspective, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Like, but I don't I think that there are, like, people that are, like, probably really smart, but, like, war veterans or something like that, that will never walk through like a big agency or
like
certain people from certain backgrounds that are totally talented. They don't even know the pipeline to get to where, you know,
right,
you would be.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was talking to someone Friday, and he said, I looked at your website and I was just drawn to sort of like your approach to diversity. He was like, just tell me more. And I said, part of what my brand does is we position underrepresented people,
right,
much differently than any other staffing consultancy does. Mm-hmm. And he was like, as a senior leader in the 20 plus years that I've been in this industry, I've never heard someone tell me that.
That's crazy.
That's not crazy.
It is crazy, though. It's sickening.
It's crazy, but like, it's not crazy because you see where it is, right? Yeah.
Like the fact that someone that's been around for so long has never heard someone strategically figure out how to position underrepresented, you know, people is wild.
I mean, like,
it's wild for us because it's a no-brainer, like, and I'll, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
truly though, like, who cares, right?
And it's
like,
great for you as a business because, like, strategy
and
diversity has never been words that have been put together.
Right.
It's just been like a checkmark or a task or an obligation.
Or even when the words are put together, it's like something that's at the bottom of the priorities. Anyway.
Right. Yeah, there's very little investment spent.
Yeah, and an investment for a percentage, right? It's not a fully diverse. When you say diversity and quote unquote inclusion or whatever, like, it's always a percentage of at least 20%.
Right.
At most 20%.
It's like 45%, and then it's like everybody else split up.
And the diversity that you're talking about, Thomas, is true diversity on 34th Street, right? But like, their goal is still, you know,
you're 5% black. Like, if I can get to that number, I'm like really cool.
Check the mark. You know what I'm saying? And
for a lot of companies, they think diversity is like just women, which is wild.
Right,
because there's still a whole subset that's being, you know, like.
Is that fair though? Like, is that fair?
I don't think it's 100% fair.
Because who's more misrepresented than a woman?
A black woman.
Bang, 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 bang.
Right. No. Like, truly, like, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. You know, like, 100% a black woman. So like,
but I was inclusive of women involved.
Nah, you can't be.
But if you, that's too deep for me. I can't.
You even can't understand. Just say like, and I you think can't that's just
bucket black women into women. Like,
yeah, you.
But
can't.
I think that we want. Okay, so let's move on to another topic, right? So, One United, right?
Yeah.
When we were talking about that in the group chat, you said, so Harriet Tubman, it was an artist that drew this like artwork, and they bought the artwork, the rights to it, and they put it on the One United debit card. Yeah. And they promoted it.
Mind you, Harriet Tubman is holding up like the Wakanda sign,
which is a sign of peace for some country. I don't remember the entire story, but like that's where the Wakanda sign originally came from, was like this tribe that's peace, whatever. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So your response to this, like your first response was, why can't we just be normal? And that bothered the fuck out of me. And I've been holding that.
Oh, so you want to fight?
No, because it's a very, very, like, that's a very interesting perspective, right? Like, right. What is normal, right?
Right. We've talked about this before, okay. You know, like, my whole gripe with Black History Month, and I've shared this with a lot of people, is that...
You're such an asshole.
And it's wild that I started that way, right? But my whole gripe with Black History Month is like, when we do things with brands, we're doing it for us. And that's not how we should be doing it. Like,
are we doing it for us?
Yeah, we're educating ourselves, which we should continue to do. That's not what I'm saying. But like, for example, there's a brand that did a Basquiat collaboration for Black History Month. Oh, my bad. And all of the people that were wearing the clothes were black. That is my problem. Actually, what should be happening in this situation is everyone that's not black should be wearing the clothes.
Yeah, that's never going to happen, which is why.
Right. That is my problem with Black History Month, is we are celebrating it within our own circle, and really we should be celebrating it across all races and nationalities, but that's not what's happening.
I mean, that's up to them to celebrate it. We gonna celebrate.
No, but the brands should be saying, hey, white person or Asian person, every other race besides black, I need you to, like, we're doing this campaign, you're wearing the shirt for Black History Month. We need, like, how else can we be inclusive if we're not doing it ourselves?
I don't give a fuck about telling them what to do. I want them to celebrate on their own, right? If they choose to.
Yeah,
I
would but never like,
tell you, hey, you should be doing this, because for me, that's just a brewing pot for.
No, I get what you're saying, but like, as a brand, if you have employees, you should be saying, hey, we're doing this campaign, you're involved. And if there's a conversation as to why, that's a deeper discussion.
I would love to see that on Twitter the next day. Because all we're going to do is beat up on that brand and say, you know, why are they appropriating our culture? Like, there's no wins in this whole thing. Like, it's always a weird response by some uppity people that have just decided that, like, this is whack. Because it may not really be that whack. Like, I don't think that Harriet Tubman was that whack. Like, I think it would caught us off guard. I think that it was them making an attempt at, like, being thoughtful. I thought it was a whole lot of things. But, like, we just decided... that going back to the original conversation, we just decided that the largest black bank had a whack card, so I ain't fucking with it.
I didn't say that. I just said, why can't we be normal?
But I'm talking about like
Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah. Twitter like, we ain't fucking with it because this look whack. Yo, but how many times Bank of America put out a whack card?
Yo, but like, I think half Twitter didn't even understand that it was a black owned bank. Unfortunate piece.
Yeah. That shit was so bad. Like, that shit really kind of hurt my feelings. And in the group chat, I was starting to get my feelings, so I stopped. But, like, truly, that's so whack of us to put that bank down. Like, and they were so classy with their social media managers trying to, like, be cool about it. Like, knowing that there was probably some Keisha in the background, like, oh, nah, he tried me.
I definitely agree partly on the Twitter where they jump on it without having context.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But I do love the way we call our people out, right? There's transparency.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I'm not calling you out in public.
Oh, no. I'm talking about not in public, but just in general, right? Like, as a people, I think you hold ourselves accountable, right?
Yeah.
If something doesn't feel right,
right,
in a constructive way, I'm cool with that. But yeah. not, you know, without yeah. context, not, you know.
Yeah. Just, yo, it like, the car didn't have to have Harriet Tubman on it at all.
You but know so what, though, like, right? Like, the car didn't have to have the American flag at all. Yo, or, like, it didn't have to be green either. Like,
yeah, that's my point is, that's what I'm saying, like, that was my whole point is, when I made that statement is, mm-hmm. like, there, like, we need to really stretch our thinking in terms of, like, how we approach Black history creatively.
But, like,
I think it's an easy play for us to always, you know, like, throw out Harriet Tubman's and, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s and the Kunta Kinte cloths and the Black...
The what?
Yo, what is wrong with this dude?
It's February, dog. Yeah.
Yo, like, but that's how they look at it. That's my whole point is, like, they're always... Like, there's always these easy outs.
Are you tired of our history?
Absolutely not. I'm like,
I don't understand, bro.
So,
like,
here's the thing. I agree with Chad on this is because we can tell more stories, right?
Thank you.
Like, okay. Just like the Harriet Tubman movie, I was just like, I don't want to see that shit. I appreciate the Black director.
You're tired.
Director.
You're fatigued by this
the
struggle.
The same story.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, but we can't stop them either because, like, we're not, like, the last ones alive.
I want to see Thomas on the card, who's, you know, a Black entrepreneur who's, you know, out there doing it. Or the dude that who's homie that just won the case for the Super Soaker. Like, I would, Harriet Tubman, I get it.
We get it.
I get what you did.
It's an easy.
Do you hear how tired y'all sound?
No. I'm so tired.
It's not about being tired.
I'm tired because I know there's so much more depth and breadth of our culture that, like, those icons, I get it, you know, but it seems like they keep going back to those.
Yo, I'm with the icons. Like, I think some things should continue to be celebrated over and over and over again. You should never get sick of it. Like, it is what it is. This is, like, the beginning. There is no Thomas the Entrepreneur without Harriet Tubman. Like,
yeah, and I'll flip too because, like, if I see a Kobe, you know, on a card,
I'm tired of Kobe.
Yeah, like you're
I'm fatigued of Kobe.
You know what I'm saying? So right, like, it's too early. Same vein, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's more out there.
Yeah, right. But there's so many years of people that go, like, that we're not aware of that have made impacts in our culture. In the history of Black people that we're not talking about.
Yeah, and so that's where, like, and that's when you fair. Talk about the education piece, right. Like, we know her story, right?
Right.
Like, but, like, who's we? Like, I think sometimes we take for granted, like,
you're right.
how smart we are. Like, nah, like, some people just learned about Harriet Tubman, bro. Like,
yeah,
especially,
like,
the person that banking at that bank. Like, it's just a real thing.
If you're giving that card, I think...
don't play them bankers like
No. By the stats, like, that's... Listen, yeah, I know. Somebody said, yo, I would not open an account here because they don't have enough products. For my financial profile.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Like, clear. Realistically, that person is not the.
You felt some type of way about that statement?
No, because it was real. Like, yeah. I'm never gonna feel no kind of way about it being real. But understanding who that bank is, they should have Harriet Tubman. Because they don't have the financial products. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a very mature. It's not for the mature person that you are, right? To be banking at that bank. The target is not you.
So you're targeting people who don't have the knowledge to go beyond a checking and a savings account?
Nah, maybe, right? Because that is also, like, a sound, like, strategy, especially based on, like...
volume.
Right.
I disagree.
Well, those are people that you could... I mean, it's like any other kind of, like, dirty kind of banking where you could just charge people a lot more and make money on the fees. Like, it just kind of is what it is. It's a sound business strategy.
I don't know. I disagree. I think,
so,
like,
by your definition of it not being a sound business strategy, like, a liquor store is not a good strategy either.
No. Hold on.
It's the same thing, right? Like, is that any different?
No, it's not.
So, if I were to come out with this card, right? If I worked at One United,
right?
I wouldn't put Harriet on the actual card
because of who you are.
Yeah, I think there's different approaches, right? Like, I think. When you talk about, like, design, you know, like, Brian and I had a conversation yesterday about we don't throw our iPhone boxes out because we
I don't either. Yeah, I'm aware of that too.
Like, we love the packaging.
Yeah, laptop box.
Yeah.
I just feel bad throwing it out.
Yeah, we love the packaging.
Wow, there's some haters out there that would throw that shit in the trash
immediately.
Yeah. For real.
So my point.
And you're a mature consumer that can appreciate the minimalistic.
So like, my point is, if you're going to put the effort into this month and putting out that type of card, then follow up with doing some other things with the packaging. Make it a true campaign instead of throwing a card with her on out there and then expecting us to soak it up.
Nah, I think that that would make some consumers uncomfortable. I think that you're a mature consumer and you have a different profile than a profile of that bank and who they're targeting.
I don't think we're giving the customers of that bank enough credit, based on how you're presenting.
Maybe not. But I think you're not giving yourself enough credit as who you are as a consumer versus like the rest of the world. Like I think that we're like a minute piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you hang around us, right, all the time. So that's who you're familiar with. But like truthfully, I could think of friends and family that would like be so excited to have Harriet Tubman in their wallet every day.
And I also think about like what's their marketing budget, my G. Like they might not have it like that. What's the smallest thing that I can do to give the biggest impact, right?
Right.
Put the biggest figure of black, one of the biggest figures of black history.
Especially when that's my entire marketing strategy is to say, hey, I'm black, so y'all should fuck with me.
And you know what? It worked.
Yo, I just wish we spent more time like thinking creatively about ways that we can present ourselves to our own market.
Maybe I think so too. But for a different product or a different person.
Yo, like I have these conversations all the time as to why when we go into the hood, our shit can't look like when we go to the suburbs.
Because that would make some people uncomfortable. Because they are used to the way the hood looks and it makes them feel at home. Take somebody out the hood and put them in the middle of Alpine and just stand them there, they're going to get uncomfortable.
Fam.
You put a bank in the middle of the hood, people are not going to walk in. They're going to go to the check-cashing place because that's what they're comfortable with.
It's a mindset that I think we need to continue to like change as people.
Agreed.
Agreed.
I totally agreed.
You can't change that mindset unless you start doing things differently. And the Harriet Tubman card wasn't doing things differently. Like, how many fucking Februaries am I going to see?
Relative. I think it's all relative.
Different because they're putting out a Harriet Tubman card. Ain't nobody else doing that.
Like, how many Februaries are we going to see, like, the Nikes and the Adidases come out with sneakers that are black, green, and red? You know, like...
Until the end of time, fam.
Like, at what point are we going to shift it and have a different approach and really think outside of the box?
I'm not against anything you're saying. I'm just making sure that it is said that like it's right for some people. Some of that is right for some people, yeah. And we shouldn't neglect those people. Like,
yo, it's, don't get me wrong, it's not just a Black History Month thing. It's how they approach Chinese New Year.
Inauthentically, right? But like,
right.
I think that's such a hard thing to do. Like, I've been thinking about that recently. Like, some of this shit is just not reasonable. So I'm not going to spend my time like with any expectations of us fixing it because it's just so hard to do. Like,
yo, honestly, it's not gonna happen in my lifetime. Thomas, it's no different than how you feel about when you went to a Brooklyn Nets game.
Yeah, that's the most horrible thing in the world. Matter of fact, I looked at it again yesterday. Right,
fucking barbershop in the.
In the Barclays Center. It's Killer Mike joint, so you got to rep it, right? But like, he has to be like, and I got 30 more. Like, Nah, but like, yo, real talk, and maybe I said it on pod or not, but like, yo, to have Bed-Stuy in like a nasty looking graffiti on a jersey when the arena's not in Bed-Stuy,
right,
is like
wild.
But like, Isn't that still translation's business?
That I don't know. Don't know.
I know it started that way.
Yeah. That I don't
know. But it's a horrible environment
Look at Steve Stout's track record, my G. Like, come on.
That's your man from
Queens.
Yo,
I'm going to put it out there. Like, come on.
Queens get the money. But like, listen. that's interesting. Because you know what? You know what was dope, though? Like, so this is my favorite way of looking at business is like some shit is going to have to be a little cheesy to scale it. Like straight up. Yeah, like it is what it is, right?
I hate that shit, but I agree.
So the the what was the commercial that they was running for, like 212? Like, remember this commercial?
Yeah, like the area code, my area code joint.
Cheesiest shit in the world.
Yeah.
But I was with it.
Yeah, yeah.
The 404, the 718, like they went down the line. It was the cheesiest shit in the world, but it was scalable. Like it worked. Like, yeah.
So all right, now
so don't dump my man because he executed that in like
and I won't, right? Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
to connect
shout out Winterfresh, McDonald's, like,
I get it, but like that's another. But Bed-Stuy
in your jersey is nasty, and when the arena's not even Bed-Stuy, like right. It's mad disrespectful.
Right. Yeah,
at least they say Peachtree on the Atlanta joint.
Right, right.
Peachtree or Peachtree?
Peachtree.
You sure it says Peachtree?
You think they spell it like Peachtree?
Peachtree. Shot it got down.
Like Peachtree.
All right, Peachtree, so what shot. About this, yeah. What about this Hennessy partnership? So NBA recently announced
it. What is it?
A Hennessy. Honestly, I don't even know all of the details.
Never stop, never settle.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't even know if I need to know the details. Because
you do need to know the details.
You do need to know the details.
Fuck it, I do. You want to pull that up?
I don't think there are any details.
Wait, there's got to be details.
Why? This is media. Who cares?
I mean, still, a major spirits company that we know is revered in the black community is all of a sudden partnering on a grand scale with one of the biggest leagues in the world, right?
Yeah, it's almost no different than like Budweiser partnering with the NFL.
Yeah, like at all. Like niggas drink Hennessy, niggas play ball.
when you say it like that,
like for real,
that's the episode title. Fam.
For real, nah. But like seriously, like I've been in several group chats, right? And even in our group chat, I was the first one to put this post, right? But like. Niggas play ball, niggas drink Hennessy.
So what does that say about the NBA?
That they did this is another translation, right? I believe. It shows that they listen and they're trying to do what we've been asking them to do.
Well,
that's what it shows.
In all fairness, prior to Hennessy taking over this partnership, it was Jack Daniels.
Nigga, I disagree.
Which is not a good brand synergy whatsoever because niggas play ball, but niggas don't drink Jack.
Wait, yes, we do.
Nah, but like,
not no more.
But like, no, but like, seriously, we are aligned. Maybe not everyone drinks Hennessy, obviously, right? But like, at scale, niggas drink Henny.
Yo. So like, is this, for me, this seems like a Voltron partnership to just to get niggas to spend money. Well, that's
niggas,
it.
Niggas already spending money.
Right.
But so now let's get a little bit of a, like, you know.
It still seems like a money grab for them without.
For who?
NBA and Hennessy too.
It's supposed to be. What else is business supposed to be besides a money grab?
But who does that benefit more?
Who does it benefit more?
Them. The owners, the one percenters that are in there getting that pocket. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, okay, you have Hennessy and NBA. We know who owns these companies. We know who at the C-level runs these companies. Yes, there's marketing execs that do that. But like once you get below the VP level or above the VP level, it's still we're putting money in those pockets on behalf of the names of Hennessy and NBA. And I don't like the shit.
What is your alternative?
Yeah, what is the alternative for you?
I don't know, but it's not that.
It is though, right? Because like I'm looking at your bar right now, and like I see a bunch of shit from Kentucky. Like we ain't there either, nigga.
Nah, but like for me, when you put it on that mass scale, I have a problem with it. Maybe Doucet, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cute.
Cool. It's cute.
Not
put
anymore.
Some money back
in there, shit is out of the arena.
Right. But like for me, this is still another money grab. And like you talk about why can't we have our own or why can't we do this and that. Like we're going to continue to spend money on Hennessy now that it's associated with the NBA. And I feel like that's just another money grab for them.
Are you comfortable with it being a partnership with Sprite?
Right.
I would rather be Sprite than benefiting off of
why because
what we know as something that's revered.
Fam,
in
we
our
drink
culture.
Sprite and Doritos in the hood. Like, what's the difference?
I feel like that's just a hey niggas, buy this shit.
Yeah, what it is all right, we gotta get some white people to start drinking some Hennessy. That's what it is.
I mean
that's what it is. It's about incremental
like
users. Like
yeah, you know, like Hennessy is it for us. I think Maker's Mark is it for them.
But like even at
I don't
that,
even know
like,
what it is. I don't even care. But
that's
like
still,
I am curious though.
That's still something that I fucking hate now. Cause if you're gonna use our culture again and our
it's not
cultural
ours.
Cultural equity.
What all cultural equity
to
is.
Sell back to white people again.
But what is that?
But what are we getting in return for that?
That's our fault. Like All this cultural equity we have, if we don't build anything to use it, then like that's our fault. Like straight up.
Yeah.
If I own, listen, what is the number one rule in business on that level? Maximize shareholder wealth. If they're doing that, that's what they should be doing. And like that's is what it is.
I mean, in my perfect world, I would love to see a revolt. Niggas stop drinking Hennessy. You know what I'm saying? Because of this.
Nah, but then what, right? But then what, right?
But then
what does he
say, right? Then it's okay, well, this is revered more.
Right. I would love it too. I'm aligned. So
that's where my
But then that would also, with that same argument, then you should move some money into One United.
I would, right? And I would diversify my accounts. If my checkings and savings in there, and then I go to Fidelity to have my, you know, portfolio popping.
I did it. Straight up. Yeah. I was so mad at y'all in the group chat. I said, I'm putting $100 in this shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not this is just dead wrong that I don't even try.
I'm not against it, right?
So you're saying? Your Harriet Tubman car is on the way?
No, it isn't. Because I don't like the Harriet Tubman car, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like...
So why was you mad at the comment made?
I got mad because, like, we didn't even... It's the biggest black bank, and we don't fuck with it. It's just wrong. That's like saying there's Bellevue and there's Ciroc, like, and I'm gonna choose Bellevue. Like it's just fucked up.
I hear you. All right, I'm gonna go get me a Harry Tubman.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, like, seriously.
Open
why,
one for
why
Chelsea.
Wouldn't you fuck with it?
You saying like those are things that for I'm down fucking. Yeah, with, you know, I'm not against.
My biggest concern, and I said in the group chat, I'm not trying to go through a Black Wall Street moment, and when United go through some shit. And
what do you mean? It's federally insured. like unless you're putting over to, what is it, 250 in that account? Like, you should be fine. The government got you.
I heard you.
And I don't know if you've seen, like, the new, they too black to fail.
Yo.
I can't.
Oh my god!
This is making me angry now.
You ain't getting too big to fail. Too big to fail.
Right.
Yo. So this
sounds like dad jokes early.
Yo, but this Hennessy partnership spans across NBA, WNBA, and USA Basketball. So how do you feel about that now, B?
I still don't fucking like it because
then you don't like business.
Yeah, I don't. Nigga, like, I don't like...
Yo, that's...
Not like that, but
good, sound business.
It is business, but, like, for me, when you start to take... I mean, this is a free world, right? Like, I get it. Dog eat dog. Like, this shit ain't safe. Like, no... Every man for himself. But, like, for me, when you are taking the cultural stuff that we bought, we built.
Yep.
Yeah, but, Brian,
go buy some LVMH now, nigga.
We don't own Hennessy.
You could. For probably, like, $61 a share.
We don't own it, but we could stop that equity and put it into something else. We could stop that equity and say, okay, well, fuck it. All I'm going to drink is Doucet.
Why
stop
some niggas in France? Like, they're not even from here. Like, why? Like, why are you so mad? It's just Henny.
It's a French brand, bro.
Yo, like, for real. This is LVMH brands. Like, this is a whole nother, like, this. Them niggas wasn't over here 400 years ago. Fucking Yo. But what I think you're experiencing, and tell me if I'm wrong, and this is going to get a little deep.
Yeah.
What I think you're experiencing is what I see a lot of people experience, and I've experienced it as well, is when some shit get a little weird, we're like, fuck, I don't fuck with it. Like,
When
we see one of some shit that we fuck with getting big, we'll be like, nah, chill, this shit's getting too big.
Yeah, no, I feel like when I get to a place, I get very sensitive around appropriation, right?
Yeah.
And around things that, like, also the shit that we do, like, Hennessy is Hennessy, but, like, pretty sure you can find a cognac that tastes better, you know?
I don't know. Remy.
Man, you better get the fuck out of here with this Remy bullshit.
There's only two cognacs, really, that's big in the market, right?
Either way.
No, listen. Firstly, it's like very expensive Remy and very expensive Hennessy. Like,
no shit.
Right, so like, those are the two big brands. Where am I wrong?
You're not wrong on that. I mean, for me, it's the appropriation, the opportunity for cultural appropriation based on just Hennessy and what it means to us. That's my
why
issue.
Is that? Is it really appropriation or is it just like legit, like, good business?
It is good business, but I also say that it's like good business based off of appropriating our culture.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is appropriating our culture by definition. If you want to say, like, realistically, they're using our, like, juju, I'll call it, to, like, sell more Henny. But, like, what's the alternative? Like, we run everything.
So I think what Brian is trying to say is maybe there's a better partnership out there for the NBA.
There isn't. If you're trying to get
I know, but I think where we're missing the better like I think where we're missing the mark here is that from a spirits perspective, there's only so many different directions the NBA could have went with this,
and the best one that
no longer that Jack Daniels is the partner. The smartest one is Hennessy. Yeah, it's a smart play. Yeah.
It's a very smart play.
But we get real sensitive about that shit. I got sensitive when I saw it. Like, oh, here goes some bullshit again. But ain't no bullshit about it. Like, it's good business.
It's good business.
What you're going to start seeing is now in the stands, you're going to see some more of the other persuasion with some Hennessy in their hands. And I think that is just good business. And it's a win for the agency that brought it to the table. And we should celebrate that straight up.
Because honestly, at the end of the day... everyone that works at LVMH, specifically in the Hennessy department, is probably a person of color. Almost. Okay. I can almost bank on that.
House niggas. Pause. I mean, like,
no, you can call them. You could call them having the spot that we say we deserve.
Agree. So you
and
you
we can call them employed.
Right. I mean, there's two sides to look at it, right? Like, right. I'm hypersensitive on the, you know, let's build our own and let's get to that place versus opening the door for someone younger or someone else who may have never had that spot, you know, before. But when you start to think about, like, the big picture of who's really controlling this money and where it's really going, like, right. I don't think that shit's coming back to us in our communities. Like, you talk about, oh, niggas drink Hennessy. Cool, but, like, what is Hennessy really doing on the back end to help any of the other side besides...
What, you want Hennessy to throw experiential events in the hood?
Nah, maybe... Some educational events in the hood. Maybe some, like, oh, well, this is how you get a job in the spirits industry. This is how you learn about that. Like, that's the shit that I'm trying to see instead of, yeah, niggas just drink more Hennessy. That's not what I'm feeling.
But the conversation really isn't about niggas drinking more Hennessy.
No.
It's about niggas already drinking Hennessy and getting somebody else to drink Hennessy.
Yeah, I don't think it's targeted at us at all.
You don't think so?
Not at all.
I think you took it personal. I took it personal. We all took it personal. It's like, shit, Hennessy in basketball. You think so? I think about Ron Artest.
Yeah,
I'm like, you start think it's a wild shit.
J.R. Like, Smith,
right? But in all reality,
they in the stands punching. Yeah,
listen, man. Ron Artest went into the crowd so that Hennessy could be a sponsor.
Yeah,
facts.
He did it for us. I mean, all right, so let's talk about another brand that's, you know, kind of reaching out to our masses, Google, right? They recently had a Black History Month commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have had a commercial?
It's
not a tough question.
No.
You say yes. No? Like, that sounds crazy.
Yes. They are fucking up right now.
Yo. Of course they got to have a commercial.
Google is fucking up in this department. Like...
But are they doing anything about it on the back end? Like,
yo.
So here's the thing. The reason I say no.
I swear to God, you are from Oakland, bro. You got a leather jacket on and a beret.
Today, I got time. Shout out to Huey. You know what I'm saying? No.
Huey.
This is why.
Brian Stokely over here.
Yo, Huey B over here is crazy.
You know how much money? I don't know how much money they spent. I don't know what agency they hired, right? I don't know all those details, but like, for a spot in that wasn't a it wasn't a Super Bowl commercial.
It was before that. It was just a Black History spot. Very.
I want that spot to go back into developers, engineers.
No, you
hiring
don't.
Those
no, you
people,
don't.
Right?
No, you don't.
I
no,
do.
You don't. No, you don't.
Why
then you
not?
Should. Then you would do what Chad does for a living.
Nah, not at all.
What you mean?
I mean, I could help Chad out, but still, spending that money to show face. I get it. It's an ode, right? I get it that they've done their research, but like for me,
wait. So they've checked off the old and they've checked off the research. Keep going.
And even if you look at the website, they've done some things behind the scenes to help that, right? Okay. Give some facts and educate mm-hmm. people.
Attribution. Cool. Go.
Right. Cool. But for me, it seemed like a play to just get
a play?
Yes. You think Google got a play on niggas?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Please explain this play. Huey B.
Huey B in the building.
I think they know the importance of the company's persona, right? The brand equity and what it means to people of color, period, right?
Yes.
And out of all the things that they control.
You think Google need niggas?
I think they do.
They do, though. They do.
I think everybody does, right? And that's the part where I'm like, they need us.
Yeah.
For what play? I don't know. Maybe it's a 50-year plan. Maybe it's a 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's a play to get in our good graces. And I don't
but
see.
But So would you rather them try to get in our good graces or just like shy away and don't talk to us at all?
I think there's a different way to talk to us. Like,
yo,
besides Ryan, a commercial, yo, there, like what other media could
think it's a reach?
Yo, there is,
it's literally reach. Like it's a commercial.
Yeah, it is.
Yo, Brian, there is an employee resource, a black employee resource group at Google. Okay. How the fuck do you think they're not going to let this shit go, son?
I don't know. H&M putting out sweatshirts and nobody looking at it.
There's no ERGs? Well, yo, that's a whole nother.
It is a whole nother country. Like, now, to be real. Like, all that stuff is not even happening in the U.S. This stuff is happening like.
The commercial was good, right?
Oh, like, do you feel like it's good?
It was outstanding.
Good.
Yeah.
I totally thought you were going to feel otherwise.
No.
We can nitpick at it because I'll nitpick at it with you.
Yeah. It was outstanding, mm-hmm. right? Like, they did a great job. Execution was wonderful. But when you take a step back, I'm like, why are you talking to me?
Why are you taking a step back?
Wait, you just said, why are they talking to me? That goes back to the same shit that I was saying earlier.
Not saying like why as a you shouldn't, but like what is the reason behind why, right? Like I need to understand a little bit more.
That's my whole point. Why the fuck you talking to me about this shit? I know.
Yo, I know this shit.
Yeah. Yo. I know fucking the.
Who said they talking to you though? They talking to everybody.
Son.
It's a commercial.
I think they're talking to themselves so that they can feel better.
Yo. They are literally talking to everyone. Like, yeah. What do y'all mean?
I mean.
They are repping for us with this commercial. Like, straight up. There's no other way around it.
I see that part, but I don't want to accept it.
Why not? I think if we don't start accepting these things that people are at least trying, then we'll never get nowhere.
Agreed. And granted, like, I'm in a jaded place, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's where I'm coming from. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm always questioning these things because a lot of the times when those things come out, like, their intentions aren't, you know, truly to serve us. It's to make them feel better. It's to check a box. Mm-hmm. It's for attribution. You know what I'm saying? It's to get money from us. And those are things that,
they do the same thing in March. You're going to see everybody start checking boxes and wearing the rainbow colors.
Exactly. So, like, those are things. And that's why, like, I feel like culturally, being woke, being aware, it's a business now versus just
it is,
actually, you know, doing it for the means of actually educating.
However, while it is a business, it still needs to continue to happen. Like, we've gotten to the point where we're important enough for them to spend money. They feel that way, like, continue to do it. Like,
agreed.
Is it money for them? Like, no, not at all. But I was a little sensitive to, like, and I'll tell you, this is the first, like, scenes of it, and you should watch it, are, like, athlete, entertainer, Pulitzer Prize winner, who is an entertainer, all the way through. Like,
let me throw a Tuskegee Airman in there real quick.
Right, like I'm sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, maybe I shouldn't be, because like we're owning these fields and we should just be excited that we're owning these fields. Like,
yeah. I mean, and similar to your Harriet Tubman situation where we're talking about the same shit.
Like, there's just other people. Fast, you heard.
Yeah, right. Like why you know, like Robert Johnson wasn't put in that. Yeah. Like, you know.
But Kendrick was though.
Right.
We can't pick and I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, but I think if we're gonna put the spread out on the table, we don't all put fucking one type of food on it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it should be.
But we also got like 30 seconds to figure this out. I'm just being fair.
Google has a whole fucking team.
Right. No. But like, I'm just saying, there's a finite amount of time for this spot.
Yo, they have agencies. They have agencies, right?
A whole team of what?
Yeah.
They
have a team of whatever they want.
Of whatever they want. Yo, literally, when they did.
No, I'm talking about specifically for, you know, black people.
Yo, did you?
I don't even know.
Do you guys know that Google did AR Harriet Tubman $20 bill? Do y'all know about that? Nope. Nobody knows about that shit. If you Google Harriet Tubman AR $20 bill, you can print out a fake $20 bill, and when you hold it up to your phone through AR, some AR platform, you'll be able to see history on. Harriet Tubman.
Yo, like, could you imagine being able to, like,
Google did this shit.
Could you imagine the organization that will spend money to, like, just let niggas play with AR and just, like,
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Google created a team specifically to do that.
To go play with AR.
So what? How the fuck can they not spend time? Google is big enough to press any agency they want, put them on the tightest deadline of saying, look, this is what I need. Here's the brief. I need to see these industries being represented in this before tomorrow. There will be 20 motherfuckers not sleeping for the next 24 hours to make that shit happen. You know why? Because it's Google. Google can make that call.
Google could fund a fucking entire HBCU's tuition for a couple of years. Do that, nigga. Then stop, instead of spending pennies in the bucket to talk to niggas. Like, that's where I'm like, I get it. I know that, like.
Yo, Thomas covered his face.
Here's the thing. I'm being extreme, right? I'm being extreme.
And yo, that's not even extreme. That is just dumb. Like,
I'm being extreme.
Let me just pay for tuition for some mid-level talent real quick.
No.
Nah, that's not happening.
Why not? Yo, you know what student debt is going out here? Yo. What are you talking about? So here's it. For me, like.
Yo, you know how foul the Twitterverse would come at Google if they paid for Dillard? Like, why they ain't do Spellman? Like, it's just a lose.
So that's either way. Like, for me, you're talking about debt. You're talking about generation. You're talking about things that can help people, right? I get it. You're spending millions on an ad, on a spot. You've got teams towards this. But, like, for me, I want to see a little deeper of a move. And this is a multi-billion dollar company. This is a drop in the bucket. Not even. They're not even going to see this, right?
For me, Did they execute the commercial, though, well?
Yeah, they executed it well, but like, what does that really mean for me?
No, I think that's a big step because, listen, we continue to see companies not executing like this kind of thing well, like over and over and over. Like, that's a big step for us.
Yeah, that was well executed. I'm tough on shit like that.
Yo, like,
it was a great commercial.
We've been crying about it for years that nobody can even get a commercial right.
But and that's the thing, like, we arguing over commercial when they are controlling the world. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so look.
Let me ask you this question, right?
You are the creative director on this. Mm-hmm. You work at Google. What would you have done in this scenario where you have an opportunity to showcase and.
I got the answer for you.
And. Represent Black History Month the way you, full creative control.
Can I make my joke answer first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Brian will put a QR code to the bottom right of the screen, and it will say, "Scan this barcode for reparations."
You're right. But I mean, if you put me in that box, then I'm gonna have to execute. And what this creative director did, which was perfect, was execute to the best of that person's ability. That's all you can do in that box.
Right.
So I'm not mad at that.
I would love
to. I'm not arguing the execution. I'm not arguing the actual product.
You know what's so interesting about this? I would love to know who the creative director is in their background. Like, even if they are Black.
Yeah, I think they're finding, like, I feel like we're getting our seats, yo. I really do.
Like, I want to know their background, you know, because although they could be of, they could be a person of color, hopefully, right? Yeah. What if they're still Stanford, Harvard grads, lived in the suburbs, came from a well-to-do? Like, you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, because then I got another bone to pick with y'all. All right, cool. I have a really big bone to pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Keep going there. You're on something.
Yeah, like, I'm almost curious to know, like, is this all they know? You know, like, could they have stretched it further if they had come from, like, a truly different socioeconomic class?
Would you stretch it further?
Absolutely.
How much further?
As far as I could. Like, no, I know that's very, like, broad.
Nah, but like, how far are you willing to stretch to find talent that is completely not what we're looking for?
I would love to stretch it to, like, I'm always big on educating and informing, like, people who don't know.
If I'm bringing you an engineer that is rough around the edges, he might say my nigga in the interview, right? Real shit, but he's talented and he comes from he's valuable because he has that background is what we're really saying. But like, do you really reach out to him?
It all depends on if he fits a couple different check boxes for me.
But are those check boxes,
what are those check
boxes? Are any of those check boxes not straight up on paper the right talent?
Can he, one, do the job?
Right.
One.
Right.
Two, is he going to be able to add value to this organization, not from a technical capabilities, but also a cultural?
That's checked off too.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. At minimum, that is what I need right now.
Okay.
Like, that is what I need.
Do you think that that is anywhere near the standard that we're talking about?
I think for today's society, it's not. No. I see it happen all the time where you could be technically capable and also a potential great culture fit and not get the job.
But what's adding value for me? Like,
that's adding value is just being different, period.
Like, you bring in, period. You bring yeah. a, see, and that's what I want from my team if I'm doing this commercial. I'm looking for someone at the table to say something or bring something to the table that none of us were thinking of.
Right.
And the only way you're able to do that is if you have
been somewhere different,
which is a diverse group of people. Right. And that's why I'm open to my nigga at the interview because he may bring a different view that we're not used to seeing.
And I don't think that we're ready for that shit though. Like, but it is.
That makes me upset.
But it is 100% correct.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct.
Yo, I'm like Cuba Gooding in Boys in the Hood swinging in the air at this shit.
Yo, like me personally, I feel like I am like right outside of the my nigga in the interview.
But they've been taught that that's not value. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been brought
that
up
is
in
part
their
of the problem,
life, right?
That is the problem.
That is not value.
And we've done that to them. We've done that to them. They've done it to us.
Yeah.
You know why they don't understand that bringing a diverse group of people makes sense and is impactful to the business? Because even when they do bring one of us in there, we are code switching so hard.
Yeah.
And we are not saying shit.
Yeah.
And we are just falling in line because we finally made it and we getting a check that they don't know what it's like for someone to push the boundaries. And so when you do get someone that does, they are looked at as like, yo, how the fuck did this person get in here? We got to get him the fuck out because Malik and Keisha, who been here for 3 years, ain't said a fucking thing.
I didn't hear a peep. They should
So, like, who is this nigga coming in here talking about, yo, y'all fucking up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the problem.
Yeah.
You know? And
talk about it.
C-level execs ain't ready for that shit.
Yeah, that shit is, honestly, man, I'm passionate about that shit. We talk about it so much. I could talk about that shit all day because I want to understand it better. It's not because I want to, like, be upset about it. I just really want to understand. I always thought I was that person. Like, I always thought I was going to be, like, the coolest, like, right in between, in touch with both sides, if you want to call it that. But, like, realistically, like, nah, I'm more, like, the code switcher. I'm more, like, the cornball than I ever thought I would be. Like, so I just really want to understand how you even get to that point. Because I ain't come in at that, like, that way.
I think there's ways, you know what I mean? Right? I think there's survival. I think there's family. I think there's, you know, both sides of the table. Like, yo, there might be a young intern who sees me, doesn't know me, but knows that it's possible and is going to go and try.
Yeah, but the thing about that, though, is, like, it's stupid. Like, it's dumb. If you really want to be, if you're truly smart, you should just, and you know that it's wrong, you should just be able to make the decision to not be wrong.
But you don't want to die.
Like, you should. Yeah. But you're dying because your value is really lost. Like, the reason why you're probably even here is because you're adding value by bringing a different perspective. But you just don't bring no perspective. So, like, you're also just doing a bad job by not being you.
Yeah.
Right. Agree. Yeah, nah, man. I mean,
so why you only got all this new Bevel shit? What's up? What we doing?
I got a beer, fam.
What you mean? You ain't got no products? What PNG? We doing? What we doing? The Stanford guy that's from the hood. That's selling products that we don't have yet.
We getting back into this P&G talk.
P&G? I'm sorry, you said Bevel or P&G. I'm confused.
That put his business in Atlanta where we are, where we have all the talent. That guy?
I'm sorry, you said P&G or Bevel. I'm confused.
Okay. There's different ways to do it, man. There's different ways to do it. No.
You said NBA or Hennessy. Like,
there's different ways to do it.
Like, yo, business is business. And this is the CEO of the company.
There's different ways to do it. Like, I can't wait to see.
Why we don't have?
You know how I feel about this Bevel shit.
But why?
You know
I feel. But why? Is honestly, I'm pissed off because none of my friends got this shit, and it's stupid. The price points are fine now. It's getting to you in 2 days. It's product that we generally don't have as black men. We don't got serums, and now we got serums now.
we got serums now.
I think it's gonna take some time to take.
Brian,
what?
Are you gonna buy it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you? It's P&G. You're probably buying their products right now anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right.
So why haven't you switched already?
I can't find it in Target. Yo, Talon's about to fly out the room.
They just launched the whole online store, right? Got a whole, yo, it's bugged out there. You know?
Nah, I'm a shot with the little homie. No, stop.
No, I mean, for me, nah, so here's the thing. I previously didn't buy any beauty products, right? Yeah. But now that is over with. I don't have to, right? No, and so now, as I look at where my dollar is going, right? Like, P&G
I'm a cop some shit, for real.
I bought soap. And you know, I was brand loyal to a certain soap. I'm leaving that brand.
Okay.
And I'm spending about half the price to go with a brother.
All right. Get
your deodorant, get your face wash, get the whole joint though, and then post about it.
All right, word.
This is not an ad.
Yeah, nah. And I see the like, I know that you're hating of the overall, like, all right, he's quote unquote selling out to P&G or whatever it is, but yeah. At a mass scale, when have you ever seen, besides fucking Murray's, Dax wave?
Yo, this is all shout we ever wanted. Yo.
Shout out to Homegirl with Honey Pot.
Exactly. So, like, those are
in Target.
Like, cool.
Not selling to Sundial or whoever the fuck.
Yo, I get it.
See where I'm going, right?
Yeah, I do.
You see?
But then just like this.
In Atlanta, by the way.
There's somebody in the corporate office who works finance that needs to do it for the people who want to do finance, right?
Right.
Who want to get, I don't know, whatever, education from the top, and who do that. There's the same thing in P&G where I feel like you're putting out good product for us at a mass scale that has never been done before.
Yeah, and you got resources. And yo, like from a customer from literally day one, everything has gotten better since he's gone to P&G.
Period. As it should. He don't own it no more. He's got bigger resources.
But for us, the standard when he didn't have that's it was why you see where I'm going level. Though,
right?
I do. Yeah.
You see
I
where
do,
I'm going?
But what I'm telling you
because
is
like what he's doing, Honey Pot is doing without P&G. The branding is beautiful. They're in Target. It's the same journey.
Less operating costs. Less everything costs.
Smaller
you're talking
market.
About smaller market. Exactly.
Much smaller market.
You're talking about the scale that at which Tristan wants to hit.
Smaller market. Smaller market. You're bugging.
Okay.
Natural products for women?
No. The smaller market are beauty goods for men, black men specifically.
It's tiny.
Fam.
Like,
when you talk about the grand scale.
When you talk about repping.
Like, we as black men, we are taking care of ourselves way more than previous generations.
Okay.
I don't know a black man that doesn't go get their nails done.
And this isn't helping? What
again,
you mean?
These are the people that you are completely like counting out people you don't talk to every day. Like, forget the people you know that get their nails done every 2 weeks, week, month. There's a whole world out there that barely brush their teeth.
And here's the thing, like,
but look at the branding of his products.
I love it.
Does it align with the people who don't brush their teeth?
It looks like what they would buy when they go on Target and buy Method. It's what you ask for.
Right.
It looks normal.
Right. That's so it goes back to my One United shit. Right.
Right.
Like if Tristan could attract towards the demographic of people who don't brush their teeth, then why can't One United do it the same way? Why do we have to
two different markets.
Okay, so for Tristan, for next Black History Month, I need you to put Malcolm X on the bottles for the
United
whole month.
United hasn't done their 10,000 hours in that space.
You are the Tristan consumer. The DNA of his brand aligns with who you are, right? So you're mm-hmm. So his branding is going to be aligned with who you are. What I'm telling you is who you are is not One United.
But I'm getting ready to open up a account with One United.
But you're going to put $36 in there, right? But like realistically, you're more aligned with BOA or Chase or whoever you bank with. It's just different. They're just two different games.
But
like it'd be like NBA Paul Masson.
But Auntie Lynette from
you know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. No, like for real. Like NBA ENJ. Like it's a different thing. Like totally.
But you talking about Auntie whatever Lynette from College Park, Georgia.
Right.
Who loves, you know, her history and doesn't want to go to a big bank but wants to go to a credit union or something smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
She would smack that card down with the most proudest look you dead in your eye. Like, I got my Harriet card. What you going to say about it? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's all relative. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're
and
different.
Maybe they'll grow to that port of like, yeah, they're going to have a Tristan Walker or whoever else, you know?
Right.
Or whatever. Or different portfolio for black women, whatever it is.
I like, don't expect my homies in the hood to have face routines. Like, I don't expect that.
That's
bro.
Unfair, son.
I don't expect it. I'm being real with you, though. I don't expect them. They could.
Exactly.
They could. It'd be great if they did, but, like, realistically, they don't go get their nails done.
They wouldn't get there if Tristan Walkers didn't exist.
Word. Like, I think
they wouldn't get there.
You know, I'm sensitive about this because I really feel like he's done everything that I think that we've all kind of wanted to do ourselves and executed it well.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like this was a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like we
I feel like y'all ain't fucking with me right now.
Nah, man. I feel like it's a good... I love it. It was good to kind of have these conversations because, I mean, there's a lot to unpack, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm jaded and traumatized by all the shit that goes on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Huey B. Newton.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we're going to have the QR code with the reparations. You know what I'm saying? With the direct deposit cash app from One United. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Bick and Bull.
Yeah.
Over here.
But I like these discussions. And what I do want to do is start to continue kind of these diversity discussions. I know we do this all the time, but like, that's something on the regular.
Yeah, I think it's therapeutic for our listeners, man. I'll be honest. When people approach me about certain episodes, it's always the diversity and inclusion conversations that are always the most exciting to listen to.
I don't even think of it as like that as a topic, right? Like, I think about we just kind of shooting this shit at like what happened yesterday, right? Like, these things are current events.
Yeah.
It's not like we're talking about some shit that's just weird.
Yeah. Because there's a whole group of people who need to hear this.
And also,
there's also a whole group of people that don't give a shit. And I want to start being cooler with them. Because, like, I got to start giving less of a shit. Because some of the shit is, like, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fact. Yo, this wraps.
Yo, that's another episode. What's this, like 54, 55? I don't know.
Thomas,
53.
You be knowing the numbers? See, I'll be knowing the numbers.
We'll figure it out, though.
Because y'all be coming for me when I know the numbers. So I don't know shit. Remember that.
Yo, all right, I'm
yo.
Out.
Yeah.
Shout out to ENJ.
Palmasong. Nah, it's a wrap. Yo, please subscribe. Leave reviews on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, whatever platform you listen to us on. We appreciate it. Our first time listeners, thank you. And our forever listeners, we love you. So we out. Holla.